Okay. I didn't get as far as I wanted to get today. In Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. I wanted to get to the bottom of the Yomud. Sorry, Yud Amud Aleph. I wanted to get to the bottom of the Yomud to discuss the final Sugya of Pesach Pesuach. But en route, we have a very important Sugya of Ksuva de Raisa to the Rabbanon. We spoke about it once in the Tuesday Shir, and had an idea this morning which brings together the Limud right now and the Limud that we had at the very beginning of the year. Gemara says, Yud Amud Aleph, Amar Rava, Chazaka Edom Terech Basudim Afsidim. Now the Gemara says, Tana, Hoyol Uknas Chachomim Hu Lo Yisig Ve'elam En Aziburis. Tana, Hoyol Uknas Chachomim Hu, since Ksuve is, literally this means some kind of penalty that Chazal imposed, so Lo Yisig Ve'elam En Aziburis, so therefore only collects from Ziburis. Right? So this is brings back those who remember Baba Kama, that a person's property is divided up into Edus, Beinus, and Ziburis. Torah says that if Reuben damages Shimon, so Shimon has to compensate, so Reuben has to compensate Shimon, and then the Torah has Mimetav Sodeyu, that he has to pay from the best of his property, the best of his real estate. Torah says that part of the obligation of compensation is to make it easier for the person who you damaged to recoup his funds. So the Torah says that if we're going to pay with metaltalin, so metaltalin, if we're going to pay with cash, that's good. If we can't pay, if we're not going to pay with funds, with cash, so the Torah says metaltalin are close to cash, because metaltalin you can take any place and sell them. However, if a person's going to pay with real estate, so real estate limits your ability to liquefy, right? Is the correct word? Liquidate? To turn your property into cash. Because you're limited in, you can't go from Yerid to Yerid, you can't go from market to market. You have a very set market. So the Torah says, and of course, that is represented in the field. In other words, you're always paying the same value. There's a certain value you have to come. If Reuben damages Shimon, you're sure damage somebody else, you have to pay a certain amount. The only question is, how hard will it be for the person to get the cash? That is also represented in the amount, in what you're paying. Right? However, the fact is that if I have to unload property, so if I unload Edus, it'll be much easier, by definition, and the toughest stuff to unload is Ziburis. All right? So obviously, I'm going to end up, if I owe a person $10,000 damages, so Ziburis could be a city block. And Edis could be a small piece of property between two big buildings, and you're able to get a good price for it, right? So, in the Gemara's time, Edis meant that it was fertile land, and could easily be used, and Ziburis was rocky land. So Ziburis, in order to, if a person owes $10,000, it'll be a huge amount of Ziburis versus Edis. Nevertheless, Edis was always the preferred, because it gave you the most options. The Torah says, when Reuven damages Shimon, Meitav Karmoy Meitav Sadeh Yishalem. Part of the payment has to be paying in the best property, if it's real estate. And Metaltalin could be anything. Gemara Baba Kama has that for most of the Deiraisa payments, one ends up paying for Midas. Oines Mefata, one has to pay. The Chamishim Kesef has to be, if one's paying cash, cash is cash. If one's paying metaltalin, whatever metalklin. If one's paying property, it has to be real estate. It has to be the either the better, the best of one's field, the best of one has. There's no standard over here. It's edis means my edis, whatever is best of mine. My edis could be someone else's edis, and vice versa. Meitav sadeyu. So Tana said, Tonam, ha'il v'knas chachamimu, sadin de rabbanan, not a din de raisa. That's what we just said. We just said, chachamim tiknu lem levnoi sholo sula v'sayim u'manamone. So Tana, ha'il knas chachamim hu, lo'isig ve'ela min ha'ziburis. So we can only collect from the ziburis. That, in other words, adeiraisa dikadin, and the Rishonim explained deeper in the Shita, adeiraisa dikadin means that we are learning from the pasuk, the parasha k'may absulois. So if it's adeiraisa dikadin, and we learn it from our absulois, the Gemara Kama says that has to come from Edis. There's a long string, if you learned Baba Kama recently, you remember, there's a long string of Hekeshim that the Torah, that the Gemara describes. Meitav, Kesev, Yishalem, Nosna, Re'eu, a five-part Hekesh. We learn one from the other to the other, it's all Meitav. So we learn that Oynes and Mafata, if he ends up paying the Knas, he has to pay Meitav. But it was a Drabbanan Dikadin, Chazal did not impose a din of Meitav. Sometimes Chazal imposed a din of Beinonis. That's what Tosfos points out in Dibra Maskil Hoyo. Then when it comes to Halvah, if I owe a person, I borrow money, so it's up to me to pay what I want to pay. But then there, I have to pay money. I borrowed $1,000, I have to pay $1,000. How I pay my $1,000, if we have no specific conditions, up to me. If we put some condition in the shtar, in the loan, I have to pay from a talisman, I have to pay from property, I have to pay from Edis, fine. But if there's no condition, so I pay value. I can choose whatever value I want, as long as it's value. $1,000 could be, I can give you $110 watches. That's also $1,000. All right. So I may never get a loan from you again, but I can do that. And again, the tirf of unloading a watch is representing the value. If it's property, they can give you a ziburis. I may have to give you a city block with a ziburis. That's the din. Chazal made a takona. Shiloi yinal does from neilavin. Chazal made a takona. If you borrow money, achoiv, you have to pay from beninus. Why? Because Chazal were concerned that if people would unload their properties and loans, so people are not going to loan. I'm going to lend money. And then I'm going to have to call a broker to unload this rocky piece of land. I'll give it to Stalker. I'm not going to do alvois. It's too much of an aggravation to give alvois. Shaloi ten al del smith ne lovin. Right? I'll be much more careful in whom I lend my money to. And Chazal understood, number one, the importance of alvois, both from a Stalker perspective as well as from a commerce perspective. From a tzedakah perspective, halvah is one of the finest ways of giving tzedakah, because you give a person chizuk. And you say, I trust, you'll make it back, and you have money, and you'll pay you back, v'chulei v'chulei. And halvois, Chazal wanted to very much encourage, because halvois, it's hard for us to appreciate it nowadays. Because nowadays, our minds think in terms of putting money away. Our minds think in terms of having a cushion, and having a pension, and having a disability money, and having also the different kinds of insurance and all. But in the simpler economy, it wasn't like that. Gemara's time, they didn't have 5, 10 different cushions. We live differently right now. I'm not saying that one should go back to the way it was. For carrot, it could be that society has allowed us to be a little bit to do more ishtalos. And so Baruch Hu wants from us. Right? That's not. But the facts are that in times gone by, if a person had cash sitting around, he wasn't thinking in investing in how can he make most. He wasn't thinking of how he can hedge his money against inflation. It was sitting around. So if it's sitting around, so why should somebody else use it? So much of society was based on halvois. Now it's in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so good. But in Eretz Yisrael, they do have the system. There are people, many many groups in Eretz will work with this. They have gemachs. What's the original gemach? Now you have a gemach for everything. A gemach for paper, a gemach for tissues, a gemach. But a real gemach, right? A real gemach was that I had cash that I don't need to use in the next few weeks. So I give it to somebody who's going to lend to make sure that somebody who needs it can use it. And that person will make sure that I get it back when I need it. That's what the real gemach is. Because again, we weren't hedging against inflation then. It was a different mindset. The best hedge you can have is that you're getting zchuyos by somebody else using your money. Right? The best insurance you can have in a society that works this way is that somebody's using your money. You're not losing a cent. Right? Somebody's using your money for their needs. So Chazal wanted to encourage loans. Again, both because of commerce requires loans to some extent, so you can buy on credit, and because for aniyim, and because that is a healthy, from a Torah digger perspective, it's a very, very healthy way to look at one's money, the cash flow. So the Chazal had many takonas, shaloit and all dealt with neilovin. So one takona they had was, you borrowed money, you pay from your beininess. Don't use a halvah to unload your garbage property. All right? That's what Chazal was saying. Good. So Tosfos says that Chazal did not impose that on a ksuva. Mikulei ksuva. Because on one hand, Chazal wanted the ksuva to be in place because they wanted to protect the woman. They wanted to protect the marriage. On the other hand, they wanted to encourage people to get married. So there's certain kulas they put into place. So the Gemara is pointing out over here. On one hand, the Gemara is pointing out Ziburis. On the end, the Gemara is also pointing out that the general din Chazal imposed on any loans, any debt that I have, the general rule of debt coming to Ben did not apply to Ksuba. All right? If Ksuba is deiraisa, so then it's from the same source as Oinus Mafata. So then it should come from Edis. Because that's Xeris HaKosev in the Bava Kama. Kesev Meitu Yishalim. However, if it is Drabbanon, so then Chazal did not make a takana. Chazal said, "Leave it on the din, leave it on the basic din." The Ritva points out in Shita that Chazal did make a takana sometime. Why? Because if you listen carefully to the ksuva, the first part of the ksuva, every ksuva, the first part is the requirements of a shtar, mokoyim uzman. Right, there's gittin daf chov base. Every shtar has to have mokoyim uzman. Right, then the next is you have to have the players who the people are. Then the next part of the shtar is an interesting part where it says that he tells his wife have a liyintu. Question: what's he doing in there? Then the next part of the shtar is the obligation of the ksuva, and then the teisef ksuva, and then the nichsei tzein barzel. However, the nedunya. Then the balance of the shtar, the second half of the shtar, is that the chosan is accepting upon himself this obligation, kechoymer kol shtorik suis, like with all of the requirements of debt and of obligations. And so he says that he's going to be responsible for it. And he says that his property, he creates a lien. He says his property will be responsible for it. The shibud aguf, which needn't be said, but it's said anyways, and the shibud nechosan. And then, I don't know exactly what it, but the Ritva writes, then we say, Mikol Shvar Arag Nichsin. Right? What's Shvar? Shapir, Shapirta. Shvar means the best of your property. So at some point, the Ritva says, Chazal put into the Ksuva, that Ksuva does come from the Edis. Comes from the Edis, the best of it was Metaltlin, or the best, it could be, the Ritva says, no, from Metaltlin, which is always by definition, if one wants to pay off the ksuva with property, it has to be from the best of one's property. So Chazal put it in at some point, but put it not as a din de rabbonon, but as a tenai that every chosan is machayev himself to do. That's a pshat mishkol shvar avag nirsa. Good. Whenever you ksuva now, you have to think ksuva daf yudim aleph. When it says the chozi lichim in a raisa, that's Tosfos saying. But we hold ksuvas derabbana, not deraisa. And Mara says, Tane hayul knas chachamimu leisig ve'elam en aziburis. Mara says, kenosa, my kenosa. I was thinking, what's my kenosa? What is something called a knas? What's the definition of a knas? What's that? Okay, you, is that me'ikir adin? What does something called the kenas? The mishnayis in elonaris. What are the defining halachas of kenas? Was that kosev, right? Moment mutal b'roish. Kenas means that. Kenas means that it is a set amount, right? That we're not taking into account what this woman needs. We're not taking into account the obligations of the ksuva later on in the mesichta. Right? We're not saying that if you live in a very fancy, expensive place, you should be giving the wife more money. You live in a place where things are cheaper, less money. No. Chamishim shekel, masayim zuz. So it is a knas. On the other hand, would we say hamoide b'ksuva potter? You say that, then you never be chayv tshuva, because every chosin is moide b'ksuva. No? So that's not the loch of knas. Right? So the Gemara is saying, and when I understand why the Gemara says knas chachamim, because it's not representative of anything. It's the din deraisa. It's representative of the moir absulos. But it's not. We know that masayim zuz v'zmana talmud. That was a year's. That was a year's. Parnosa. The verse says, but before Zmana Talmud, he says, Masayim Zuz was years and years and years. He thinks Chamishim Ket Shekel was for many years going forward. So, but Lemaisa, the Chamishim Shekel, for an Einas and Mefate, Bizmana, Bizman HaTanach, and Bizmana Gemara probably meant different things. How far it went, and probably be Moshe Mashiach, it'll also be a different amount, but it'll still be Masayim Zod, it'll still be Chamishim Shekel. So I understand it being called a Knas. Meidach, the Gemara is saying, but it's not a Knas, either because we don't have the halachis of Knas, and be Rashi. Ksav Yad of Rashi says what Josh said, Kolomer Ma'pesha, the Kokonsina. Gemara says that Knas usually means that somebody did something wrong. So we're talking about a guy got married. So what's the kenas? Why are you giving me a kenas for ksuva? So I understand what the ham in the Gemara was. Kenas chachamim, and we'll send a little bit deeper in a few minutes. That the Gemara didn't stam pick a Allah. Kenas chachamim. So leisig ve'elamina ziburis. Kenasa, my kenasa. It doesn't have the halachis of kenas. It doesn't have vayda b'knas potter. And doesn't have the din. It doesn't have the element of crime or of pesha or of isur that a knas usually responds to. Elo eima oil betakonas chachamimu loisig ve'elamin aziburis. Oh, that's the chiddush that we spoke about it 2 minutes ago, that it's a din derabbanon. It is not impacted by the xeris akosav of edis, and it's not even impacted by the din derabbanon of choyv of det min abedinis. Good. Gemara says, is this really correct? That Reb Shimon Gamliel, did I skip a line? Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ksuvas Isha Minatayram. He holds Ksuvas the Din Deraisa. Umi Reb Shimon Gamliel Hachi. Is that the Reb Shimon Gamliel's position? Vatanya Kesef Yishkol Kemar Absulois. Sheheze Kemar Absulois, Umar Absulois Kazer. Have a Braisa. This brings us back now to Ilan Aris, right? That the Torah says in the case of the Mifate, Kesef Yishkol Kemoir Absulois. When does the Mifate pay Kesef Yishkol? When does he pay Kemoir Absulois? No. Was that? When is it? When what case does the Mifate pay? Was that? Absulov, when? If what?
Father
if the father or If the father refuses, that's correct, al pidin, correct, yeah, and chumash, correct? First din of the off this pasuk test box. V'chiyifat ish v'sul asher loy erasa mohor yimaren aloy le'isha. Alright? Imoin yimoin avi l'sita l'keset l'sita loy. Right? You said correct. I said incorrect. You said keset yishkok l'moy absul loy. Right, right. If the father refuses, so then he has to pay kemay absulos al pidin if he decides to get divorced. If they stay married, if he marries the mefuta and they stay married, he doesn't pay anything. He only pays the kesef yishkol. He pays moy. Discuss in a moment. Moy or yimarven al elisha kesef yishkol kemay absulos. What's kemay absulos? So the Gemara Darik points out kemay absulos is that's Moyer Absulois. So the Gemara points out, Kesev Yishkol, Kemoyer Absulois. Sheyezeh, the Mefate, Kesev Yishkol, Kemoyer Absulois. The Mefate should pay the Moyer Absulois. Umor Absulois, Kazeh. And the oines should pay like the mefate. It's not exactly like the mefate because the oines pays no matter what, right? So mikan, this is the brisa. Kesev yishkol kemoy absulois. Literally, it means the dowry of the besulois. What the besula is with the. Kemoyer Absulois, what the husband is providing for his wife. Sheheze Kemoyer Absulois. Umoyer Absulois Kazeh. The Torah tells us the number in the Parsha of Isha Nara Basula. And the Torah calls it Moyer Absulois in the Parsha Mefata. So the Torah, Gemara explains why is the number explained in the Parsha of Oines, and the term, the vague term, is explained in Mefata, in order that we should understand that Kesef Yishkol Kemoyer Absulois, Sheyezeh, that this Mefata should get the Moyer Absulois, which is Chamishim Shekel. Umor Absulois Kazeh. What does that mean? No? Shkola, right? Chamishim Kesev. And so, in other words, the Torah explained the Dintas over two parashas. It bothers me. What are we supposed to understand from the fact that the Torah explained the Knas? Instead of telling us what the Knas is, he says, well, if you put Mefata and Ma'anis together, you can figure it out. Obviously, the Torah wants us to understand that there's some common ground between the Moyer Absulois of Ma'anis and Mefata. Next. Mikan Somchu Chachomim L'Ksuva Asisha Min HaTorah. And this is the Raya that Ksuva is Midei Rabbanan. Right? Mikan Somchu Chachomim Suva isha min atayra. Right? Three-way machlekes rishayna. Either we paskin ksuvas de raisa, this is only according to one holds the Rabbanon, or we paskin ksuvas de Rabbanon, or we paskin the concept is de raisa, but the shir is the Rabbanon. We can't somcha chachomim how much the ksuvas should be. All right? So, pashus hasugya, Rab Shimon Gamliel holds ksuvas de Rabbanon. Mikan somcha chachomim. What's pshat in mikan somcha chachomim? If I were to ask you, why did Chazal make a takonas ksuva, what would you say? Why did Chazal create the parish of ksuva to din the Rabbanon? So why did they make a din of ksuva? No. Shelo teikala bein avloitzia. Right? We know the reason they made the ksuva. Because they wanted to give a husband and a wife, had trouble, one son, they wanted to give him pause. Should not rush in to divorce. Chazal made a few takonas like that. At the end of Baba Basra, an entire parak called Get Bekusher, that if a kohen divorces his wife, Chazal made a special din of creating, of writing a very laborious get, where after every few lines they have to fold it and make a kesher in order that a kohen should even be slower, because a kohen cannot remarry his wife if he regrets it after Gerish. Chazal made takon shaloi teikalo bein of loitzia. So the ksuva is shaloi teikalo bein of loitzia. That's why the Gemara says, why by almana? Why is almana getting a ksuva? It has nothing to do with shaloi teikalo bein of loitzia. Gemara is a different din because of chena to make it easier for her to get remarried, to give her some support, right? So koshali, what's mikan somchu chachamim? What does that have to do with the din of Ma'anus HaMefatem? What's Mikan Somchu? Say, tell me, that's the shir. The reason was Shlitkal Meinu Vaitziyo. Mikan Somchu, Rashi's Midakori Lo Moyar. Midakori Lo Moyar. Because it's called Moyer Absulois. So, what's Rashi saying? What's Pshat? When it called Moyer? Because it's called, we, in English, the dowry? No? That's my problem. What's the Kein Deraisa? And Hanami? It should be. Mikan Somchu means Chazal took and got their understanding from this din. Mikan Somchu. So, you could say Poshet. You could say Siba Satakona, Oifen Atakona. The Sivas HaTakon is very clear. Shaloi tekal ben lezia. How much? How much? What's the shir going to be? All right, we have a shir in the Torah. We have a shir of what the Torah is mechayev and ma'anis and mefata. And then I have another kasha. It bothered me for a long time. The very beginning of Nara Besula. Right? Again, we're going back to Eilun Arz. Very beginning, it was not so long ago. Same Masechta, same year. So the Hilchas Nara Besula. Yesh v'chlolon chomesh mitzvah shloish mitzvah asei u'shtei mitzvah zlo yisaseh. V'zeu portan. Lik noisa mefata sheyisa oines anusosoy sheligareisha oines. Alright? What... It's troublesome in this Rambam. What's missing in the Rambam? How would you have written the Rambam differently? No? Any one of those three questions. No.
Where's
the knas for the ayinus? The knas and mefata. Either it should say the knas and mefata v'ma'anes, or there should be another entry. The knas and ma'anes, or sheyisa ayinus and usosoi v'shalim knas, something. But why is it called the knas and mefata? The knas identified as a mefata's knas. No, Sammy. No, that's the din. Right? The din. Sammy's asked another question. Why doesn't say Shayisa am fata es mifutosa? So the answer apparently is because there is no mitzvah. That's not a, they were not koifer the mefata to marry the mefuta, and when the mefata wants to divorce the mefuta, we don't stop from getting divorced. All right? But Sammy's asking and says, how did I lose it over here? So this is not a mitzvah. It does not say in the Torah, I mean, the kasha is a good kasha, but the Rambam passed on it, but the Rambam says they can't get married. If the father doesn't want, and if the guy doesn't want, he's not mechuyev to marry the girl. Right? Yes, the one thing the guy has to know, either get married or pay knas. Right? But if he gets married, there's no chiyuv knas. So it's interesting, Sammy's an interesting point. Why the Ram didn't formulate it in that way? Why didn't he formulate it as shishalim knas im lo yisa? Right? Tzorachim. But I think a more urgent issue is why the Rambam, urgent for us right now, because we're talking in the knas, why the Rambam does not say it's called a kanas of a mefata of a manis as well. And the Rambam says this is called the knas hamefuta. All right? So again, Yosef, go ahead.
Version. That's
what it seems. That's what it seems. Then when I said, when you get back to it, to explain a little bit deeper, I think. The Macarius. Alright? So again, so the Ksugya says, Ksugya begins by saying, Mikan, Samchu Chacham, L'Ksuvas Isha Min HaTorah. Gemara goes on to say, Shem Yiloy Mer, Ksuvas Isha, Ein Lami Debe Torah, Elami Debe Soifrim. So Epoch, the Gemara says, you have two versions, Avram Shimon Gamliel, and what are the nafkaminas of whether it's deraisa derbanan? So in this sugya nafkamina is whether the mokaim, whether you use the place of the nisuin when the shibud was created, does that determine the details of the payment? What coins do I use? If Reuven gets divorced in a different place when we got nisuin, So do we use the mokem amachayev? Do we use the mokem anisuin? If it so happens they got married in a place where coins had certain kinds of marachosh, again, value will be the exact same. That's kasha. It'll be the same value. Only question is that in kapoitkia, so then those kapoitkian coins, those are better coins. It was easier to, people wanted those kinds of coins. They're better. They lasted better. Had a better stamp on them, whatever it was, I don't know. They were heavier. I think they were lighter, as the Gemara says. So it was. They were better. People wanted them. All right. It's not a difference in value, right? It's like depending on the dollar, whether in Israel you get they want American dollars or they want shekel. So there was a time when the American dollar was more stable than the shekel. So people loved having American dollars, and they. The same value, you had to pay the same price usually, right? But if a guy got American dollars, he was happy. He was happy with them. Now it's not so posh again. Often they prefer shekel right now. So the Gemara says that's a nafkumina. They rise to the rabbanon, whether we're going to say the mokem and as soon as the mokem and machayev, the mokem and meshave, or whether Chazal will say no. One of the coolest of ksuva is if you get divorced in a place where the coins are less desirable, you can use those coins as well. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be masnal mashakosav haTorah. Right? Is a person allowed to get married with a tanai not to pay the ksuva? And now the nafkamina would be lechayra whether you have to pay edus and pay ziburis. So our sugya is pointing out to us that if it's a derabbanan dekedin, then it's mikan samchah chacham l'ksuv zishim la toira. What if it's a deraisa dekedin? What's the makor? Is the deraisa dekedin? The Kemar Absulais, right? Kemar Absulais. That there's some din that the Torah already said. Minatorah, you have to provide the Kemar Absulais. That the Torah says, V'chamishim shekel, they'd be machlekes vishonim. So, again, what do I want to focus on? So, if everything's finished the Gemara, so what do we know? A machlekes tanoim, where the ksuvah they rise at the Rabbanim. Machleik is the end of the Masechta. Nafkamina, Mois, Kapoitke, Mois, what's the other option? What happened? He got. So, if he. And he got married in one place and got divorced. Nosu Vereish Yisrael, the Gears Bekapoitke. All right, one nafkamina, ziburis, edus, another nafkamina, third nafkamina, mast al masha kosa v'toira. That's the sugya. How do we paskin? Taptos in Aleph says that the stom of this shas is that ksuba is mini rabbonim. Why do we say the chazi lichi de raisa? So we show him say, because even if it's a drabbanon, they were chazal attached to the din de rabbanon, some of the chumris of a din de raisa. Does that mean that they gave a din de raisa, or means that they Chazal took it as serious as a din deraisa? In other words, Chazal, the Moshel, Chazal made the din, even to din derabbanon, Chazal said that it is binding even if there is no shtar. Not like that, but they were mechazik the din by imposing that you have to have a shtar. It's also to be married without a shtar. So they imposed, they took the Chazal, you don't have any other din derabbanon like that. Any other chayim derabbanon, where Chazal said, and you have to make sure there's a shtar in place. Chazal halva. You can have a milva, you can have a halva balpeh. It doesn't have the same tokev as halva bechsav. But you can have halva bepeh. Chazal said you have to have eidim for halva. They didn't say you have to have a shtar for halva. Here, Chazal imposed a shtar. So to chazi lichim b'chayim din deraisa. Good. And that also might be the pshat in Mikol Shvarag Nichsen, that Chazal imposed the din of Edis, even though it's a din de Rabbanon. To chazi lichim v'neiraisa kilu, to din deiraisa. That's the Gemara. But we have to understand what's pshat in Mikan Somchu. Chacham l'ksuv v'sishu min haTorah. If it means the shir, it means the shir. But Lechaira, this is the basis of it. How can you say such a thing? Chazal misakin adin de rabbanon of ksuva shleit de kalvin loisiyah. So it's mikan somchu. So it could be an asmachta bi'alma. What's an asmachta bi'alma? No? What's an asmachta bi'alma? Right. Machlek zvama mitva. Right? So according to Rambam, what's an asmachta bi'alma? And the malik device that the MS is, there really is nothing to be learned from this mikan somchu chachomim luksuv asif shemina Torah. Right? That all it is that Chazal wanted to make sure that you'd remember the din. So every time you're laying Mishpatim and Len Kiseitse. If the rabbi wants, he can give a shir on Ksuva. Mikansu Chalot Ksuva, Ishim in a Torah. According to Ritva, Mikan Somchu is a Chazal understood that even though it's purely a din the Rabbanon, but it's Ritzayin Abore. The concept of Ritva rejects the Rambam's idea in very strong terms. He says it doesn't make sense. Mikan Asmach Yama, Mikan Somchu. Mikan Somchu means they just took a hook, they just made a mnemonic device, they made like a vort out of it. Mikan Somchu Chomer. And the emphasis is the Lushan over here would indicate certainly either that this is different or that it support the Ritva. Because the Mikan Somchu is Kesef Yishkol Kemur Absulois. She said, "Kemor absulis and more absulis kazeh." It tells us a din. Usually, in a smach, the Ram would mean kol apasa kemor absulis mikan somchu. So, I'd like to suggest the following: what's the mahalach over here? Let's be mamik. The Torah said the Gemara says mikan somchu, right? Like, what does that mean? According to Ritva, right? Let's. According to Ritva means that Chazal understood our din of Ksuva is already Kadosh Baruch Hu is megala to us our din of Ksuva in the parsha of Einus Mefat. That's what the Ritva would say. According to Ritva, right? According to Rambam, I can't press it. Rambam says that Kavina Smachta, but I would say even according to Rambam, the Lashon is not your typical. Not your typical lashon of an asmachta. Doesn't say asmachta be alma.
A unicorn
of
your blood still treated as a din derabbanan.
100%.
But at this point, the Gemara, that's we're assuming that it's a din deraisa.
No, mikan somchu chachamim is the right that Shmuel holds a din derabbanan. Vatanya, how does the raisa vatanya kesef ishkomim sulois mikan somchum mikan somchu chachamim v'ksuvus ishem in atayra. This is how Chazal understood the din of Ksuva. If it would be a din deraisa, correct. You're saying it's correct. We can't some chachamim l'ksuvas isha min ha-Torah. That Chazal understood the Ksuva min ha-Torah. So if the Ksuva is min ha-Torah. So how are we to understand the din of Ksuva HaTorah? So Rabban points out in Mishpatim. Mechi Yifata, right? What's Pshat Ki Yifata? Yifata means that the Chosan dupes the woman. Pen Yifata Levavcha. And Mesis is a psula. You give different rise for that. Umasha Pirish Rav Moyo Yimarena Sheyif Seiklo Moyo Kimishvat Ishla Ishtoi Kishakosi Loksuva. What Rashi says, that could not be true. Why? Because if the Mefata marries the girl, he doesn't make Nas. And if they get divorced, ain la love klum in Torah, because ksuv is the rabbana. Amul perish moyar, what's pshat moyar yimarena? What's pshat moyar yimarena? She'od mishalech la rusosi kli kesef v'chli zov, u'begodim l'tzorech echupa v'nisuin. Rabban says that the pshat posuk, so Moi Middle Isha, he should treat her like a regular wife. Send, just like a husband sends gifts to the Kala, he should do the same. Sha'odam Shalech Rusosik Lichas Vizal, Ubegon Maturche Chuba Nisuan. Veyman Nikron, Sivloinus Veloshna Chacham. There's different rayos for that. The Omer Rabbi Seinu ki inyan amoy harazeh hu nikza bo inyan ha'oynes. Should understand that the price, the value of the moyar is in the parish of oynes. Ki chamishim kesef. V'din ha'oynes ha'mafateh shoven bo zeh. The only difference is that when it comes to Oynes, he cannot divorce her. When it comes to Mefata, he can divorce her. Hatam, Ron explains, what's the Yisai? Kinderech Eretz Liyos Bachuri Chemed Mefatin Besulais. It happened that people, men, would try to seduce young women. And who would they try to seduce? Benois Hagdelim Ayafis. They were the people, women of stature and pretty women. And it wouldn't be appropriate that a guy seduces a woman, that lies to her, traps her, and then he's able to force her to get married. That he cannot, we will not force them to get married. Ubavur shegam hi chata bedover loy nasan olav onesh yisein al karchay v'day shishalim haknas. And if it was a mefuter, so she also sinned. So then it's not right that we should force him to marry her because they both did the chayt and force her to stay married, right? V'day shishalim haknas. And after they get married, and they so then there's no ksuv b'nei raisa like any other woman. And it also happened that people, that men of stature, would take advantage of women who are not of stature, asher ein lem koyach kenegdam, v'chein amar ba'oynes, v'loisi en le'isha al korcha. V'adash Rabbi Seinu, v'hi ben evi yochein le'akiv, k'einenu hogun shikochena al korcha, v'yasim o shtei rois. And it's not right that we should force them to stay married, because it's a double chein. It's not right that she should be forced to marry some guy who's going to rape her. It's the right thing that she should decide they want to get married. Why? However, he says, so why do we force the ma'anes to pay no matter what? Now here. Right, because the ma'anes has to pay something, some kenas, because it'll be harder for this woman to get married after she's been taken advantage of by this person. So what is the basic purpose of the moy, of the payment of kenas? According to Ramban, how did the Ramban understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish by imposing the kenas of mefata? Or the kenas of oynes. Know what we say?
To make sure that she doesn't lose out because of this other guy's manila the guy.
In other words, to discourage, as a disincentive for doing, for mefata amanes, right? As mefata knows that he has to that if he does a maisa mafatli, he's going to have to be given a choice. Either he has to marry her, or he has to pay kimura psulas. Right? So, either he has to, if they agree to get married, he did a maisa znus. So if they agree to make that maisa znus into part of marriage, to fix it up, to misakin it, and make it part of their life together, Torah goes along with it. But if he doesn't, if he doesn't want to marry her, and it's not his, he can choose. So then he has to pay. It's making us. Right? Not in order, shalei chayte niska. And it's not right that a person should be to a maisa's nos, and then he puts her in the position either where it's harder for her to get remarried. So he's in a better position to now take further advantage of her. Shleite Niskor, Tervis says, you have to have he has to pay Chamishim Shekel. According to Reversh, it was a very significant amount of many years of support. What happens if he's Ma'anaser? Right? So what's the din then? What's the purpose of the Knas then? If it's also a disincentive, right? What's the nature of the disincentive? In both cases, it's a kenas in order to discourage a person from being ma'anis and mefata. In the case of the mefata, right? But she also is chota. So the Torah says, sounds like the ideal thing is that what? That they should see if they can stay married. Again, and if he does not want to do this, so then he has to pay kenas. So what's so halacha lemaisa? What is the kenas coming to do? You think about it from the perspective of the mefata. No. The mefata has to make a decision. What's he deciding between? Yeah. The way it's going to work, according to Ramban, the way it's going to work is Mefata took advantage of a woman. Right? All right. But they both were nechta. So we can't say it would be inappropriate to let her off the kentarla. So what's the base in telling the Mefata? He did a maisa znus. Torah gives you the option of whitewashing the maisa's nus, right? Cleansing it. Gemara says the mafata berotzain doesn't have a coil. Right? So the basin says explains it. Then they rise to the guy, but he says they say to the guy, you have a choice: either you can get married, or if you're not getting married. And this woman's now going to have a harder time getting married. She's a ba'ula, right? Nope. So then you have to pay kamar psulas. What's kamar psulas doing? Shleit kalamin vaisiya. What's the nature of the disincentive? The disincentive is you have to pay a certain amount of money. But the disincentive is couched in creating the incentive of them staying married. If she wants, Then the Mayab Sulais will encourage him to marry her. The event that she's Ma'anesir, right? So then Tervis says, do I need an incentive to keep him married? No, if he's Ma'anesir. Do I need a financial incentive? Is that? He has to. Is it in the Raisa? We're going to force him to stay married, unless she doesn't want. So it doesn't make sense in the context of Ma'anes. In the context of Ma'anes, the Torah says they have to stay married. Basil will be koyf to stay married. So what's the money for? What's the money for going to Ramban? Let's say she doesn't want to say married to him. It's a manuvel. It's a Baal Zeraya. He's part, so what? Is that? No, no, that's a knas, correct. But what's the, how does the Ramban say, what's the point of the knas? How does, was that? No, he says that you have to understand Ki posla be eni abachurim. Vitzdarech aviyom. See the lashon. Ki posla. Derech eros abachurim. What time? So she'll be over here. What's the secondary purpose of the funds over here? Because it's going to be hard, no one's going to marry her. What's the secondary purpose of the ksuba with the Baal and Mona? He's going to get married, right? So when Chazal followed the direction of the Oynis HaMafata, so you see, in Oynis HaMafata are both of these concerns. Yorda Chazal lo'oymek inyan ha-Torah. Chazal understood the din, Torah, and said, well, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu want to accomplish over here? Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to accomplish mitzad echad. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to accomplish shaloi teikav lo be'ino lo'y tziyai. They wanted to accomplish, to give a knas, a disincentive, a penalty to a person who does terrible things. Right. That's number one. How did the Torah do it, though? The Torah didn't simply say, Mafata, 50 shekel, Ma'aneh, 100 shekel. It could have been like that. The Torah said, no. The Torah said, Ma'aneh, Mafata, they both were choyte. Let them think it out. Most important, and this is the most important, it shouldn't be znus. So if we can incorporate this mice and mafata into marriage, then like it purges it from being znus. Alright? So how did the Kadosh Baruch Hu phrase it? That the disincentive of doing a mice avla is the incentive shaloi te kalvin leitziya. Meidach, in the situation where we want to say, if she doesn't want, forget. We don't need, by Ma'anes, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, L'such L'garsha. I don't need a financial incentive there. But there, let's say she doesn't want. So then, it's going to be hard for her to get remarried. Right? That's Yorda Chazal L'oimek Havonis Inyan. And they understood it. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, if a woman leaves marriage, leaves a situation like this, and now she'll be at a disadvantage of getting remarried. It's an almana. Everyone's going to have a hard time getting married. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that's the second din of ksuva. So that explains to us, that might be what the Rambam was pointing out. When the Rambam understood, he understood the din de'iraisa, that we should understand that the din of kenas is primarily a kenas of a mafuta. What apparently is that we can understand the yisoid of kenas. Apparently the Rambam is saying. Apparently the Rambam is saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu was magdir kenas, the kenas in the mafuta. Apparently what the Rambam is saying is hayois, that the Torah said the two parshas need each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to understand Mefata Amaris, and you can't learn Maris Amefata. Kadosh Baruch Hu linked them together. Mishpatim, Kiseitze. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it the title in Mefata. There it's called Merbesulois. The value, he tells you in Ma'anes. So, apparently Ram understood. I'm going to have to find more Makoris for this. Apparently Ram understood that the Torah wanted you to understand the Yesod of Kanas of Nara Besula. So Ram says one halach of Nara Besula and the two kinds of Nara Besula. So apparently the Ram understood that we will better understand the Yesod of the Kanas in Mefata. And therefore, that's why he calls it the Kanas of Mefata. The Ram understands a Ma'anes pays the Kanas of Mefata. Hezra Dovar. The ikar of the kenas is shleih the kalben waitziyoy. That din is in gimel shleih garei shoynes. That's what the Rambam does understand. In addition, there's a din that shleih garei shoynes has a secondary din with it, and that is. That there's a form of hezek as well. So the Torah insists on that being paid. For some reason, the Ram understood that to be part of, not to have a separate entry, that to be part of the Knois HaMefata. For some reason, I'm not sure, Torahian. But we certainly can say from the fact that the Rambam identifies it as the Knois HaMefata. Is that gives us an understanding as to how Chazal understood this knas. In addition to being a disincentive, it was specifically Shleit HaKala Ben Oitziyah. When we can't learn to Chazal. So the Kein Dei Reis of Ksuva, right? The Kein Dei Reis of Ksuva is Merv Sulois. Where's the Kein Dei Reis of Merv Sulois? I understand very, very well. Because Yoridu Chazal lo imek havanas haTorah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Shleit HaKala Ben Oitziyah. So Chazal were misaken their own din of Shleit HaKala Ben Oitziyah. And they also understood from Oynes that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that a husband should provide for a woman that because of events that were not in his control, she's now on her own, right? Like the father doesn't want them to stay together, or the ma'anes. I don't mean his father wants to get divorced. I mean ma'anes or he dies. That the husband is responsible to give her chayin going weiter. So here you see from this from our sugya, you understand. How Chazal must have understood the Parsha Mefata, and explain to us why the Ram uses the Knois Mefata, and explain to us also why in Parshas Mishpatim, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is unveiling his system, and he unveils Bavakamba B'Metziah, he chooses to unveil Noshim via Mefata. L'chara, we would have chosen in Mishpatim to have the Parsha of Kiddushim. Right. Maybe Parsha of Yivam. But why the Parsha of Mefata? The first din of Noshim is Mefata. So Lani's Daiti Pshat is, because in the Parsha of Mefata, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us two things. Number one, Roya Menelei Leisha, the responsibility of the Chosan to be Mesameach his wife, because that's what the Ramban says. He's a Mefata. So now he should treat this woman b'derech kavod. Treat this woman as like any other woman, any other wife. And imoyin yimoyin avil zitoloi. So there's a din of shaloi tekal ben leitziyoi. So that makes the most sense of what introduces parashat kiddushas, parashat kinyanim. But in terms of ishus, the Baruch Hu was interested in the longevity, in the duration of the Ishus that's introduced in the Parsha of the Mefata. That is even sharper. The Parsha of Mefata is more of a Musadik idea. The Parsha of Mefata is the idea that one can take a Mises Nus and to make it into a Mises Ishus. So at one level, you can think of it later on, that a lot of Chai Ishus is harnessing the Yetzer, which would otherwise be a Maisa Nus, and making to a Maisa Ishus, making a Maisa the family. Right? So in Mefata, that's what Kishbaruch is Megala, this important Yisoid. And in addition to that, is the concern that the Baal has for his wife. Right? So I need to apologize for the digression, but I thought it's a situation where you can see how from the dinim the Rabbonon, you can see how Chazal understood the dinim the Raisa.